Good evening, Jennifer.
Good evening, Josh.
Welcome to the Gleeful Podcast with Josh and Ed. I am Josh.
I'm Jen.
And Ed is unable to join us tonight, that we might do something next week. Maybe Ed will do a solo show next week or something. Unfortunately, Ed had to work late, and I have a heart out because I am going to see John Waters at the Masonic Lodge on the Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
Oh, it's so complicated.
Name for that location. So we have a quick show, but we'll talk a little bit of Glee Project, and we'll listen to some voicemails, and we'll talk a little bit about Comic-Con this weekend. If you're listening to this next week, then it's not this weekend. But if you're listening to it right now, then it's this weekend. Everybody's going there, and they're bragging on Twitter about how much fun they're having, and that's why we don't like them. You can find us online at gleefulpodcast.com, on Twitter at gleefulpodcast. I'm at Josh Brunel. She's at Jenny B. Creative. He's at Edward Giordano. We want to send all of our love to Ed. He's unable to join us. But Jennifer.
Joshua.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yes?
Doing pretty good. Yeah. Got a crazy workload ahead of me. Coming off a whirlwind vacation. Well, trip. Tour of New England.
Mm-hmm.
But no complaints.
Well, that's very good.
Yep.
It's very good.
You?
About the same. We got the work in and we got the write in.
Lots of work.
And we got all kinds of stuff going on.
Yep. Heading to San Diego.
We're heading to San Diego on Friday to do Comic-Con. Now, the Glee presentation at Comic-Con is on Saturday.
Oh, my goodness. At like 6 o'clock.
At like 6 o'clock, which means it's going to be extremely busy and hard to get into. And we're only going for Saturday and Sunday, so I'm not entirely sure we're going to be able to get in. That said, it's kind of one of those ones that we should try for.
Yeah.
You know, it's like E! Online listed it as one of its 5 must-see panels. The thing is no one knows anything about season 4, and this is the first time where Ryan Murphy and Brad Falchuk are going to be in front of microphones. And as we know, Ryan Murphy and Brad Falchuk are incapable of saying no comment.
Right. They just say stuff.
They just say stuff. Now, mind you, most of it's wrong, false, made up,
or
only true for the moment it's coming out of his mouth, in Ryan Murphy's case. But
I think he truly believes it at the time.
Yes, he does. He believes it at the time. That said, they've also got Corey and Leah are both on the panel, the real-life couple. So, of course, there's going to be drama around that.
Oh, yes.
And I believe Darren Criss is the other big name that's going to be there.
I think Naya Rivera is going to be there.
And Naya Rivera is supposed to be there.
Although she was here last year, right?
I don't remember who was there last year. I remember Brittany. I'm sorry, Heather Morris was there last year.
Yeah.
Darren Criss and Jenna Ushkowitz were there last year. Dot Marie Jones, the director of Glee 3D, which no one wanted to talk to. No one had any interesting questions for him. And I think that was when Brad was debuting his very long hair. So there was lots of discussion about that in the audience. But you can go back and listen to the archive if you want to hear us talk about last year's Comic-Con presentation. But I think it's one of the reasons I do want to see it, and why I think we will make an effort, is because of, you know, no one knows anything about season 4. It seems like the cast doesn't even know what's going on in season 4. And so this will be the first time people will be able to ask Ryan and Brad point blank, what the heck are you doing in season 4? So if we're going to get anything, it's going to be that.
And it will be interesting to see the, you know, the graduate cast members. And I mean, they have to have a sense of in what capacity they're coming back.
Yes.
If they're coming back.
If they're coming back. Exactly.
I think that'll be the interesting thing for me.
Well, we know that Leah, Corey, and Criss are, of course, signed on.
Yes.
And I think everybody else is in kind of like minor capacities. Last I heard, Diana Agron was on the fence, or is she? I think Ed would know. We rely on Ed is our fact checker. Ed is our fact checker. Yeah. So we will do our best. We'll keep you posted. Follow me on Twitter, and I'll keep you posted on whether or not we're able to get in.
We'll get strategic, you know, whether I wait in line for an hour and then you come take my place and I go off for an hour. It's in that other hotel, too.
Oh, it's in the Indigo Room. That's right. Which is actually It's kind of a good thing.
Kind of like, yeah.
It's a little easier to get into the Indigo Room. For the listeners that have never been to Comic-Con, Comic-Con has gone from, when we first started going, it was big, and it's gone past big, past massive, into kind of unmanageable, is the word that I use to describe it now. The easiest way to describe it is, the first year I went to Comic-Con, I walked into a Serenity panel where they showed the very first trailer for Serenity, and the entire cast of Firefly was there, including Nathan Fillion and Joss Whedon. And I walked straight into the third row and sat down as it was starting with no problems whatsoever. And they even gave us a free t-shirt for attending that particular panel. Today, if Joss Whedon even were to show up at Comic-Con, you'd probably have to be... Like, today, there have been people in line for the Twilight panel since yesterday morning, and the Twilight panel is tomorrow. So it's gotten so out of hand, the amount of time you have to spend in line to get into these things. I know the Supernatural panel is usually the first one in the morning because people line up the night before and line and stay there all night. So... it's just crazy what it takes to get into things now. And so the first year that we saw the Glee panel, I think we were in line for an hour in order to get into Glee the first year we went.
Yeah.
And that was in the Indigo Power Room.
Yep.
And the next time we waited in line for about 2 hours, and that was in...
20? It was Ballroom 20?
No, it was AB.
Oh.
Was it 20? Yes, it was 20.
Yeah.
And then the following year after that, it was into Hall H. Like, these are all bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yes.
So last year it was in Hall H, and we were in line for about 4 hours. We got in line about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, and still sat in the very back of the room.
Yeah.
Because the following one was Doctor Who, and everybody was just camping out to get into Doctor Who. And so I don't know if we have another 4 hours in us to wait in line for Glee, but we shall see. We will do our best. And we shall see what happens. It's crazy. Comic-Con is crazy right now. So
yeah. But if anybody's going to be there, they should tweet Josh.
Yeah, if you're going to be at Comic-Con, let me know.
Because Josh checks his Twitter.
tweet me or... yes, I do. Or whatever, tweet me or email me and let me know if any of the listeners are going to be at Comic-Con, because then we can hang out. It'd be cool to see some listeners at Comic-Con. So anyway, that's about it. There's not that much more Glee to talk about, so let's just dive into the Glee project. We have two episodes to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
The first episode was Adaptability Week. And they threw lots of wrenches at them for Adaptability Week. And the song that week was Price Tag. So let's take a listen to Price Tag from the Glee Project, Season 2.
And marker. Here we go. And cue playback, please.
This song will be with you for the rest of the evening. of course, when I think of this song, all I can think of is the crazy crap that Jessie J wears when she sings it.
I don't think she
has anything with a fold in it. I think her entire wardrobe is Lycra. And so, and it's all leopard print.
Never seen her crazy print. I'm really out of touch.
You didn't know this song, did you?
I did not recognize this song.
They lip synced to it on the radio in Chronicle. I don't know if you remember that scene. They're riding down the road and he's lip synced to it. Anyway, this is Price Tag. This is from last week's Adaptability Week. Eliminated was Mario, who had a really good voice, but was just one of those kind of unlikable guys on the show.
Yeah.
He was really hard to root for. He talked back a lot, and he was just so sure of his talent.
Yeah, there was a lot of deflection in, you know, when given critique. And after a while, you have to, you know, these are professionals. They're not people. And if you were that perfect, then you wouldn't need this show and you'd be on, you know, well underway with your career.
Yeah, it's one of those struggles where, like, the greatest of the greats still usually, you know, are open to feedback and not, you know, criticism is a different word, but being told, like, give me this, give me more.
Yeah.
That's just something you have to do. And his response was always like, well, I think that people around me aren't performing and I'm not doing very well because of the atmosphere, supporting cast. So, he was kind of one of those. Uh-huh. So he was cut. That was, the music video was shot at City Walk, which is like four blocks from our apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just hilarious because the rich kids were at Jody Maroney's, I think, like a sausage restaurant.
Yeah.
Does it strike you, Jennifer? It feels to me that the music videos are not as good this year. If nothing else, they're smaller. They feel much smaller this year.
You know, I think because they're making more room for the other stuff. Like, we talked about it for this week. It just finally occurred to me that the homework assignment, it's so polished.
Oh, yeah.
And it's choreographed by somebody else. Because there's no way these kids put this all together themselves, but then can't keep up with the simple choreography that's thrown at them for the video.
Yeah,
put together by a professional. So it's just, it's very, like, to me, it feels like they are concentrating on other elements of the performance of the show and not as much the video, but I mean, I don't think that they're smaller. I mean, it's just it was an odd choice to have, you know, the rich kids hanging out there. I mean, like, if anything, put them at Wolfgang Puck, you know, where, you know, you pay, you know, buy a $15 pizza or something. But
I'm trying to think where at City Walk you would actually go if you were wealthy, and quite frankly, you wouldn't go to City Walk.
You wouldn't go to City Walk. I mean, you know, if you did, you might go to the Daily Grill or something like that if you wanted.
There are some of those second level ones, but even those are pretty. I mean, City Walk is not. It's a mall.
Yeah.
It's a mall that's attached to, you know, it's like downtown Disney, but not as nice. Which is relevant to four people.
Although I would say it is the best sock store ever.
The best sock store?
Yeah, this crazy store. This crazy, you know, it's this entire store filled with socks.
There's also the John Lovitz Comedy Club, because when I think current and stand-up comedy, I think John Lovitz, which I believe recently was sold to Kevin Smith and opened as a podcast studio. Which is also bizarre.
Okay.
I don't want to slag off a fellow podcaster, but still a little strange. Anyway, Molly says the Daily Grill is way too crowded. That was last week, Adaptability Week. They kept throwing changes at them to the point where it was almost comical.
But I thought it made sense because, I mean, we've heard stories about how, you know, the last minute, you know, like, they couldn't get the rights to a song, or they decided to change something, and you know the cast had to stay late because they had one day to, you know, rehearse this number or something.
That's
like
true.
That I mean, and that sounds very plausible, and the fact that they did that I thought was pretty cool. I mean, it was a different challenge. It was a different challenge, and I thought it was entertaining, at least for us.
I'll give you that. It definitely broke the mold of the show, and that was really nice. And I liked the duets at the end. I think Nelly and Michael's, or Blake. Nelly and Blake's I've Been Waiting for a Girl Like You was one of the best things season, and certainly up to that point, it was the best thing that either of them had done. I mean, it was a cool week, Adaptability Week. The guest for Adaptability Week was
Kevin McHale.
I definitely wanted to see more. I wanted to see more wheelchair with him and the girl I don't like. But that would have been pretty fun. But yeah, so Mario went home, and that was that. I felt bad that Kevin McHale had to listen to 8 versions of You Ought to Know.
Wow. I do appreciate the way they presented it, though, for
us. Yes, intercut, yes.
Yes. Oh, is that what that's called? Yeah, very nice.
Yeah, it's a fun way to put it.
All right.
And Shayna continues to do well while forgetting the words.
Yeah. But the thing is, she went with it, you know. Yeah. And, you know, I think that that's all they ask is, like, don't get so derailed that you can't give them anything. So
it was adaptability, I suppose.
It was adaptability.
But the funny thing about Shayna is that she's one of these girls that you see or used to see on American Idol. I haven't watched it in a season.
Yeah.
But there was always that girl on American Idol that, like, was really good or was a great singer, but was just kind of dumb as a bag of hair. Like, they were a great singer, but you knew all they owned were, like, 4 greatest hits records.
And everything Carrie Underwood ever put out.
Exactly. Like I'm trying to remember one of them, but yeah, there was always a couple of those girls that, like, all they owned were, now that's what I call music for. And so because of that, the only songs they could do is this person's signature song and that person's signature song and that. So every time they go to Shayna, she's like, I don't know that song. Like, she knows 0 songs, apparently.
Yeah.
Which is, to be an American and not know every word to You Ought to Know, it's kind of shocking. That song is such a part of the public consciousness. At least not know the opening. I don't know.
Yeah, well, come on. She didn't grow up in the 90s. We can safely say she didn't grow up. She might have been a little kid in the 90s, so it's not like, you know, for us, you couldn't escape it. Mm. I remember when I actually bought that CD, and the cashier, the guy that was ringing me up, was like, do you want to save $10 and I'll just run to my car and give you my copy? And he wasn't being flirty or nice. He was just like, oh God, if I see this album one more time. I was like, thanks.
I'm being corrected in that chat room that it's Shanna. So I apologize for that.
Mm.
But it is true that, like, that was one of those records that everybody owned, listened to 10 times, and then when they were like, all right, I'm good here. I think I'm safe on this one. So that was last week. Marios was sent home. They came back this week for Fearlessness Week.
Fearless.
Which is an interesting sentiment, fearlessness. The final video was a mashup of Hit Me With Your Best Shot and One Way Or... Oh, actually, before we leave, we have a voicemail about that, about last week.
About so Adaptability?
Adaptability Week.
Hi, Justin and Ed. It's Sarah and Caitlin calling to review last week's episode of The Glee Project.
Mostly. You see, we just got back from seeing The Amazing Spider-Man, and we really enjoyed it. We wanted to hang on to that feeling for as long as possible.
So we ended up watching the music video in about 5 to 10 minutes of the Clee plot points. I did find myself questioning why these rich kids were at an outdoor restaurant called Sausage Kingdom. Sounds classy, right?
I'm kind of glad that Mario went home. I didn't really like him for the 2.25 episodes I saw, but I actually would have preferred that Allie went home. I think that she is the weakest singer overall. So far, the one person I would not mind winning the show is Nelly. She sold me in the last episode.
Team Blake for the win. Hey, so our 2 people supposedly have great chemistry.
At least it didn't feel as forced as Eileen and Charlie, whose relationship seems really fake.
You know who didn't seem fake? Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone. They're both so adorable.
Well, sorry, this was not the best review of the Glee Project.
But I think it was a glowing review of Spider-Man.
They both have something in common, though.
Cute British boys?
Well, that would have made this show so much better. But no, I didn't really want to see either of them, but Sarah made me watch both. One worked out pretty well for me.
One might say amazingly.
The other one I'm not particularly enjoying.
If Nelly gets eliminated, expect me to start calling in by myself.
Anyway, can't wait for the podcast. Bye.
Go see Spider-Man.
Well, thank you very much.
Wow. Well, I'm
guess
ready.
We have to go see Spider-Man.
I've been ready. Josh is the reluctant one.
I saw 3 Spider-Man movies in the theater, which means I've already given about $50 to this franchise.
Actually, we saw Spider-Man 3 twice.
So I've given more than $50 to this franchise already. And that's just me, not including the beautiful wife that I took to 2 of them. I really feel I've given enough to Spider-Man for this lifetime.
That's very sweet. Just don't forget, though, Tobey Maguire gave you a hat.
He did, actually. But Tobey Maguire's not in this movie.
In the first time we saw Spider-Man 3. He gave you a hat.
Tobey Maguire was in. Yes. Tobey Maguire walked up to the front of the room, introduced the movie, and handed me a hat. That's yes. true. But Tobey Maguire's not in this movie. And right. Andrew Garfield has not given me a hat yet. The moment Andrew Garfield hands me a hat, after I pick you up off the ground, I will.
You mean peel me away from him? No, I'm just kidding. Yes. Peel me off
after,
of him?
After I bail you out of jail, I will then go see The Amazing Spider-Man. So yeah, that's what we got. So let's.
I know Emma Stone would give me a black eye and a heartbeat.
She does look tough.
She's a scrapper.
She does look tough. So let's talk a little bit about the next week. Hit me with your best shot, and one way or another, were the song Eileen won the mashup. Eileen won. No, not Eileen. Lily won Fearlessness, the homework challenge. So she got not much of a solo, but she got a little bit of a solo.
She got like more screen time. She got to seductively hose down the group.
She's going to leave that girl, one alone.
The girl is fearless.
Let's go ahead and take a listen to Hit Me With Your Best Shot and One Way or Another, the mashup from... we got Rick the Stick here in the opening.
Swim team sucks.
Yay for Rick the Stick. So that's a bit of Hit Me With Your Best Shot and One Way or Another, the mashup from this week's episode of The Glee Project Season 2. Eliminated this week was Charlie, and Charlie's been struggling on the show. I don't know that he was really a fan favorite, shall we say. I don't think, I think people were kind of ready for Charlie to go. Charlie, I think...
I was.
The thing with Charlie is that he's another person on the show. I guess I feel like really about everybody this week, with the exception of maybe Blake... that I feel they're all good for reality television, but bad for actual television. You know, there's a reason that the people that are most successful on reality television are never have broken out into acting. I can't think of a single other than maybe Nene, whatever her name is, who plays the swim coach, who plays Roz, the swim coach. I think of a reality television star who has had a successful acting career?
Jacinda Barrett.
Was she?
She was in The Real World like 15, 20 years ago. Probably 15 years ago.
Okay.
And she's done quite a bit of acting.
Uno.
Yes.
I'll give you the Uno.
But she was already a model. Like she was already in entertainment.
I'll have to Google her because I know the name.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it just seems like it's, they're two different, it's two different skill sets, you know? And part of being an actor is not having a heck of a lot of personality, because you have to be able to adapt, and you know, you're essentially a blank piece of paper that people are going to write stuff on. And these kids, like if you're in a reality show, it's all about bringing all this personality and being, you know,
standing out.
And I just don't think those two things are compatible concepts. So the thing with Charlie, I think, is he's such an interesting guy. He seems like a very fun performer, and I think he'll do great in like a one-man Vegas show where he has total control and can be as crazy as he wants. And, you know, it's essentially like he just tells the band to play and he tells the producer to get out of his way, and then he goes on stage and does whatever he wants. I think it would be insanely entertaining.
An incredible ego fest.
Exactly. Like, he's wildly self-indulgent. But as far as like being on a television show and having to play nice with others, I think he proved he just didn't have that ability.
You know what, though? Okay. I'm thinking now back to last year. Ryan's biggest criticism was, I don't know who you are, so I don't know how to write you.
Okay.
And this time, he's telling people, don't be who you are, be who we tell you to be. No, maybe not.
I don't know
that.
About that.
But it's interesting. It's just interesting that we haven't heard that once, where he said, I don't know how to write for you.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. That hasn't quite come up yet. I mean,
maybe because
this
everybody
group,
is such...
Yeah.
They're so bold and so confident and in your face.
The group this year is very... They're all very specific characters this
year.
They all have very... Like, we all know who they'll be on Glee.
Yeah.
Which would be an interesting conversation to have on the podcast. Like, so who do you think this person will be on Glee?
Yeah.
Because, I feel like that they're much more specific this season. There's I can't really think of anybody that I'm like, I don't know where you'd fit in. I don't know which part you play. Maybe Michael. I don't know what part Michael would play.
Yeah. I mean, like the next Finn, you know? And like, I look at him and Blake and I'm kind of like, okay.
But I think Blake would be the next Finn or the next Sebastian. And I think that would fit very well, though Sebastian is rumored to come back.
Yeah.
I think that he could definitely fit into that mold very well. Where like Michael's almost too blank. I don't know. There's almost he's almost too bland to really find anything for. But you know, many actors are quite bland, and then you put them in a costume and you give them lines and they really come alive. So who knows?
Yeah.
One of the things that we were talking about tonight during the show was that somebody like Nelly coming in and being like Eliza Dushku and Bring It On, like the tough girl who becomes the leader because she doesn't fit anywhere else. I was like, oh, it's such a good character for her. I totally want to see that happen.
I love her voice.
Yeah, her. I mean, that's when we were talking about I've Been Waiting for a Girl Like You being her best performance up to that point.
Yeah.
Because her If I Was a Boy was amazing.
And you hate that song.
I just don't get it. I don't understand what it's about. Like, I need to just print out the lyrics and be like, what is she trying to get at here? I can't, is it, if I was a boy, I'd understand why you're hurting my feelings? Is that what it is?
Something like that.
If I was a boy,
I'd be a better man.
I'd bang all the chicks? I don't know. Maybe it's because I am a boy, so I'm like, it's all right. Like, it's fun to pee standing up.
It's
a
pretty song, though.
It's fun to
pee. Lyrics aside or confusion aside on your part, I still think it's a really pretty song.
And it's a very beautiful melody, and she did amazing with it.
And she amazing. She didn't copy Beyonce, but she was equally strong and charismatic and tender, and I just love her voice. Yeah. I mean, if she doesn't win this, then I hope she just starts recording, because I would love to hear what she could do.
Absolutely. I think, you know, and that's kind of the comment Ryan made, is she's a performer, but is she an actress performer?
Yeah.
And I don't think so. But as a performer, I think she's wildly captivating and fun to watch. And with the right record, would just be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, would just be awesome to see. Javalava Bobava says that the song is about transvestites. So
okay.
I think that's right. So we also have Eileen was in the bottom three. I struggle with Eileen. You know, Ryan's comments about Eileen were that she she's a groundbreaker. You know, she represents this audience of girls, of Muslim girls that are living in, you know, 2012 and trying to find a middle ground. And I get what he's going for there, but I don't like her as the representative of that movement. I think that's what it is. Like, I like that sentiment, and I think having a Muslim character on Glee and having, you know, exploring that. I mean, obviously Ryan has established that that Glee doesn't do the best job of showcasing like religious characters, but having a Muslim character on the show and discussing that and you know, destigmatizing that a little bit, I think would be really exciting. I don't want to see Eileen do it, though. I think she's a mediocre singer. She seems very nice. She's trying so hard to be slutty. I don't get it. But then you said you kind of like her.
I kind of like her. I mean, like, for all of those reasons, I feel like I shouldn't like her. It was kind of like the girl last year who was the, you know, the real flirty, sexy one, and who got booted off, I think, like, third or fourth. There was...
Yes.
Like, in some ways, I feel like I should dislike her as much as I disliked that other girl.
Emily, I think her name was.
Emily, that could be it. I don't remember. But it's just, you know, because it was just this level of, you know, showiness and desperation and, you know, just crazy attention seeking is not something that's appealing to me. But there's something kind of fun and, you know, I don't know what it is about Eileen. I just... Eileen. I think I just have to remember that it's Eileen and not look at the spelling of it, because every Eileen I knew was E-I-L-E-E-N. But could be, you know. Anyhow. But I don't know. I mean, I do think she has a pretty voice, and I think that, you know, she's not a bad little actress. I mean, last week I think she did better, much better than this week. And,
Yeah, she's certainly not the worst actress in the group. And maybe, you know, given an opportunity, she could be a better actress. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I don't care for Eileen. I think the only person I like least is the girl in the wheelchair.
Allie.
I just find her to be so squeaky, and she's trying so hard. And you know, it's not for me.
I don't think I realized how squeaky her singing voice was until last week when she was in the bottom two, three, six. Bottom
and she
six.
Knows she's doing it. Like, she thinks it's an asset. You know, she was talking about, like, I'm going to go out and be bigger and be more fun. And I'm like, this is how you do that? Is by being, like, by playing Minnie Mouse?
Yeah, I hated their arrangement last week. I think they could have done that duet. Well, I mean, plus it's not a song you really think of doing a duet, but I felt their performances were horrible.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever really noticed her voice. I can't think of what she sounds like just singing a song straight.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right.
It's always kind of like this, you know, this act.
Yeah.
Like, there's a difference between acting and just putting on an act.
Yeah.
And I feel like she's just trying... Again, trying to
I guess I'm struggling with the fact that I feel that she's still a girl in a wheelchair. And then Mario, like, he was the blind guy. But then when he started singing, you didn't care that he was the blind guy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because
or even
he
the
it was just
guy.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, he didn't really put on any airs. It was very very direct singing, you know. He was confident in at least that. He was confident in everything. but with her, I feel that as soon as she starts singing, it's just more character.
Yeah.
And so she's still just the girl in the... she's still just the girl in the wheelchair. I don't know. There's a conversation in the chat room right now about Zach Woodley on Glee. Like, as a character on Glee.
Yes, please.
He would be hilarious. You had the best comment about Zach tonight, where you were saying he's incapable of hiding his emotions.
Oh, my God.
He's like, you always know right where Zach is.
You can tell when he's frustrated. You can tell when he's annoyed. I mean, like, or just watching his joy in watching these performers is so... infectious.
Yeah.
He's adorable. Oh my
totally
God, if
true.
He was like hot substitute teacher or something like that.
That would be
we
awesome.
Saw him. We saw him last year in San Diego. We were standing in the line to get into the Conan O'Brien exhibit on 5th.
We did?
Yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
I did.
Wow.
Maybe I was too.
I mean, I saw speechless. Him. I saw him at the Television Academy a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
But no, he walked right by.
Wow,
we were standing in front of that toy store. Remember, we were standing in front of that toy store for the longest time.
I do.
I think you had
the toy store.
I think you were looking into the toy store, and I was looking out. And I thought,
because I was looking at toys, and you were looking at boys.
Yes.
And that is the story of our relationship.
Yeah. It works.
The thing about Zach too that I totally sympathize with is when things get really emotionally intense, weighing on, like, towards awkward, you can tell Zach just wants to curl up into a ball and hide.
And he usually does curl.
And
he,
I
physically.
Do that. Yeah. Yeah, he physically, like, he crosses his chest and he's just like, I just want to disappear until this is over. And I totally do that. Like, you'll notice, I immediately will be like, where's my iPad? Like, I need my phone. Like, is there anything that needs to be cleaned? And so I know when he's doing that, that I'm doing it too.
Yeah. But he's so... so cute, and I think it'd be great on Glee. Maybe he should be the new direction. Oh, or he could be Jesse St. James's evil nemesis, and then they could have a sing and dance off. Wow. Sorry, I'm like trying to, this is writing my little fan
We've
fiction here.
We've never seen Zach dance. We've only seen Zach teach people to dance.
But you've seen the pictures of him as Madonna's backup dancer,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Google the crap out of that,
kids. That's awesome.
You won't even recognize him. Well, we're running out of time here, so I think we're going to bounce. First person in the chat room to tell me what song to play is the song that I will play. But we want to thank everybody for joining us. Next week is next week on the Glee Project. The special guest is actually Sebastian himself. Whose name escapes me at the moment, and everybody on the headphones is screaming it. But
Ed isn't even listening, but he's just screaming the actor's
yeah,
name.
Yeah, somewhere Ed just went, wait a minute. It's Cutler, I think. I'm so bad. I'm so sorry, guys. But yeah, Sebastian is the special guest next week on the Glee Project. So we'll see how that goes. And, Glee 464 had the winner.
Nice. Oh, and this week we just brushed over it, but Jane Lynch, amazing mentor, gave some really nice acting advice.
She did. Grant Gustin is his name. She did give very, very good advices. This
yeah,
week.
She. That would have been, you know, like one of the best mentoring sessions, I think.
Yeah, I think
she just had so much experience.
If you want a mentoring session, like that's about as good as you can get. Well. You know, as far as you know, being able to sit down with Jane Lynch is pretty amazing. So anyway,
I look forward to it.
That's about it for us. We shall we'll let you know if we figure out if we get into the panel at Comic-Con.
Yes.
For constant updates on our lives, you can follow us on Twitter. The show's at Gleeful Podcast. I'm at Josh Purnell. She's at Jenny B Creative. He's at Edward Giordano. If you are going to Comic-Con this weekend, email me or find me on Twitter. Don't find me on Facebook. I never go there. But you can find the show on Facebook and talk to the other listeners. Just search for Gleeful Podcast on the website, which is at gleefulpodcast.com. We will be back possibly next week, most definitely in 2 weeks, for more Gleeful Podcast. For Josh and Annette, I'm Josh.
I'm Jed. Jed. You know,
nicely done. Nicely done.
Wow. Okay.
That was like a classic middle child. It's like, I want to make sure he's included.
I want to make sure he's included. I'm representing. I'm Jedward.
Jedward. Joey's baby is yelling at me because I can't remember where he goes. Yes.
Just Jen.
As Ed would say, we are shining down everywhere, wherever the mountain. Actually, Ed texted me and asked me to plug his album. Or his continually growing music project that you can find on Bandcamp entitled Telegrams from the Seafloor. So check that out. That is Ed's continually growing.
Yeah, check out Bandcamp.
Musical project. But for the Gleeful Podcast, Josh, Jen, and Ed, we'll talk to everybody next week. Good night, everyone.
Good night.